This is Afternoon Programming with L.
What's going on, everybody? It's episode 18 of the Afternoon Programming Podcast. I got another dope guest. It's, you know, the more episodes I do with people, like, I start to remember all the people I know, right? You know, because, like, we usually get focused in on our lives or what's going on in our lives that we tend to forget, like, oh, yeah, I know this person. Right. I know this person. I know all these dope people. And, like, that was, like, the point of this podcast to, one, let me just talk about me and what's going on. But then I was like, kind of like how Joe Rogan does. He interviews a lot of interesting people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, why can't I do that?
Facts.
You know, for people who I think are just doing amazing, dope shit, and then who have interesting stories. And, like, man, I think I've known you. I don't know if I knew you the first year I moved here, but maybe, like, the second or third year, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember how we linked up, though.
Oh, yeah, I never forget that.
But let me introduce, it's my homie, my good friend, Mr. Petey Parker.
Hey, I'm honored to be here, man. Thank you, bro.
Man, once again, thank you. It's been forever since, but this is, like, a good time to catch up.
Facts.
But before we go forward, you want to promo any socials or anything like that you got going on?
Yeah, man, it's just, to find me anywhere, it's just at Petey Parker, PETIEPARKER. I am the general manager of Peter Street Station. I'm pretty sure I have this hoodie. I always wear it. Yep, Peter Street Station. And that's at PETERSSTATION. Oh, shit. I fucked that up. It's PETERSSTREETSTATION. Peter Street Station.
Yes, man. It's very, y'all, man, y'all always doing dope events over there. I remember when y'all first started doing the music, like, on, was it on Tuesday?
We actually still do that on Wednesday nights. It's our main night. We've been doing that for, like, 3 years now.
That's crazy, because I remember I went up there and played a few times and just chilling with people, and it was, like, a dope little vibe.
That might have been the last time I seen you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, facts.
It was crazy. But for like, people who don't know you, like, what would you say, like, is you're an artist? You're a...
Yeah, first and foremost, I'm an artist right now, and it's not weird anymore saying it.
Yeah,
because I know that's who I am, but I'm just thankful to say that, I think, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy because I've known you to kind of, like, go back some years. Right. I've known you when you first donned the Spider-Man mask.
Crazy.
It's crazy. So, like, I want to tell people. So the way that I met you was, I don't know, I think it was Evan.
Yeah, he had
Evan,
like, Raft. A photo walk.
He had a photo walk, exactly, around the city, and he hit, like, maybe four or five different spots that he knew of. And Evan Raff, shout out to him. He's a dope photographer.
My brother right there, man.
From Atlanta, takes a lot of dope, crazy shit. Look him up on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But this was when I was, like, getting into photography, and I was like, I knew of him through Instagram, and I was like, yo, I got to meet this dude.
Right.
And then, like, every now and then on his socials, I'd see him take photos of you in your Spider-Man mask. And I was like, who the fuck is this dude wearing the Spider-Man mask?
Evan was, now that I look at it, he was technically curating my page.
Oh, word.
You know what I'm saying? Because all my photos were coming from him.
Yeah.
And then he would post the photo on his page, and people, of course, would go from there to see me to my page. So every time you post, I probably get, like, another 500 followers.
Wow.
I was like, man, keep posting me, bro. Like, keep this going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that was all for validation, because he was growing so fast on social media. And I was like, hey, bro, as your manager, because that's what I was at the time. I was like, man, I need you to post this. I need you to post one picture of me in a Spider-Man mask, bro. And it's just going to go. And that's the first picture we posted, I got 1,000 likes.
Man.
And I got shoes sent to me.
Damn.
So I was like, this is what we do it from now on, bro.
It was crazy, because I remember, so it was a photo walk, and I met a bunch of other dope photographers there. And then I remember I was like, I got to get a dope photo of Petey. And so, like, I would just be snapping photos, and then I would capture, like, a bunch of different dope content. Right. And then I would always, I think it just worked out to where you were like, oh, this shit is dope.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, hey, if you ever got the free time, let's link up and take pictures.
Man, first of all, man took a legendary photo.
Oh,
you remember that photo, bro?
Yes, I remember, with all the photographers on one side.
You was behind. I was like, yeah, I fuck with
and
this
And it was
guy.
All them taking a picture of him.
Yeah, just thought behind that.
Yeah.
I was like, I can fuck with him.
Yeah.
Because I already knew the quality was dope. Yeah, she was like, look at this. And honestly, the only other person that, like, I know that takes a picture and shows it to me and is fire before post edit is Evan. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, the goal for that situation, and we didn't know it, I think Evan kind of knew it at the time, it was to find someone such as yourself for me to work with, because he was getting so busy.
So busy, yeah.
Yeah, we was like, and I think that's why he did that. He's so strategic, you know what I'm saying? And then, sure enough,
linked up and then did like thousands of other shoots all over the city. Oh my God, I remember that. I was thinking about a few of those because I remember there was one. We were on top of a parking deck and I had you kind of sit to the edge of it.
I was like, I'm scared as hell, but fuck it. We gonna do it. You was like, man, just sit there. Just I looked at you. You was hanging,
off the
because
side.
Because you was calm, I was calm. I was like, yo, that was a crazy shot too, bro. That was a crazy shot. Like a number of crazy shots from that.
That's crazy. So I wanted to ask, so where did that come from? Like that Spider-Man wearing that and just quit him like having that?
I mean, my brand, you know, Petey Parker. Mm-hmm. That's not my real name, but at this point, that's even my family call me Petey. You know what I'm saying? But that came from me being a web designer. You know, like Spider-Man, Peter Parker, web slinger, you know what I'm saying? So my name was that for marketing purposes. And then when I was managing Paper Frank, I was always behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So people would hear my name, but they would never see me.
Oh,
and at that time, I had a corporate job. I was actually married at the time.
Wow.
Had a corporate job. And that lifestyle really wasn't conducive to what she wanted me to portray and what my job, you know what I'm saying? So like, it was a lot of weed smoke, a lot of that stuff. So I just stayed out of the camera.
Gotcha.
And I just kind of kept that going. And with Frank, I became like people who really wanted to make an impact in the art world. And they like Frank, they would research the reason why he got to where he got. And I would say 95% of it is him. Yeah. But then another 5% is the team he had behind him.
Mm.
And I was a part of that team.
Yeah.
So people didn't know who I was. And then when Evan came and shot Frank one time, and Evan being the strategic person he was, he knew that I was behind Frank. And he's like, yo, I want to work with you. And then I saw his work. I was like, and it was just every relationship I got into like that, even yourself, it was just like a mutual thing, bro. Yeah. Just like, all right, let's work. I want to manage you. Let's work.
Yeah.
So with Evan, he started to go up and I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to get this Spider-Man mask. I need you to take a picture of me in this mask, like I was saying. And he was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And he just like had such a vision for like, when it comes to street photography and making photos, that it was just easy for him. And it just really just took off. So it really put me in the world of like fashion, brought me a lot of fashion stuff. But then even though I wasn't this, it put me in the cosplay world too. So I was wearing the mask. So I was kind of like just seeing which one was going to take me as far as I needed it to go. And it's really just a fashion thing, not really the cosplay thing.
It's crazy because I remember, I almost feel like, I want to say, I think I have the authority to say, I think you were like the first guy I knew who wore like the Spider-Man mask.
Yeah.
And you remember there was like one point where somebody else in a different city started to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I think he's swagger jacking.
Yeah, it was lame as hell, bro. It got to the point where I was like letting people have it. Because it would then even in India, it started to pop up. And I was like, I can't do nothing about that. You know, I'm inspiring them. That's cool. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But then because Evan had such a following that other folks, of course, from all over the world would see it.
Yeah.
And because he's doing this, they felt like, okay,
I can do this to get up there too.
So it was a number of people that popped out like all over the place. Like, and it would just be the most random stories. Like, yeah, man, I was a fan of Spider-Man as a kid too. It's been my dream. And in my head, I'm like, bro, I like Spider-Man, but that wasn't really, this is our marketing. I'm really a Gambit guy and X-Men. I really didn't care about Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But now, like when I look back, even that character, it's a lot of similarities. Like we're both from Queens. I was a web designer in the movie. He was a web designer.
Of course.
We both had an Aunt May that passed. Like it was just a lot of similarities.
That's crazy.
So I really like just embodied it.
Yeah.
Even working with other people, it became a symbiotic relationship.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So like we really needed each other.
Yeah.
And fed off of each other. And for me to grow, they had to grow. So it's like a lot of parallels with the whole mass thing. Which really made me like really embody it for real.
Man, that's wild. So then you were just saying, so you were originally from Queens.
Yeah.
And how long did you live there before you came down here?
Man, I'm a Georgia boy, man. I've been here since I was like,
okay,
I had my fourth birthday here.
Oh, wow. You know so so you were young when you got here.
Yeah, I moved here very young.
Got you. And so like when you first got into web design, was your family anything like into that or were they kind of traditional?
My father was, he went to school for architecture. And I think because of me, he actually stopped.
Oh,
like
wow.
When he was about to have me. My family's from Jamaica.
Nice.
So everybody came over. I'm the only person in my family born here.
Oh, so you're first generation, like American.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. So my father was always drafted. I grew up around drafting tables and all these different tools and stuff.
Yeah.
And I would always draw or like really trace, or I'd always have to have something to look at to draw.
Gotcha.
But my father always had like the technical background when it came to architecture, and even how he wrote was like an architect. It's kind of dope. So it's cool to be doing what I'm doing now and to bring him along on projects. I'm like, yo, what you think about this? Because he's so knowledgeable. But yeah. I think a lot of my artistic ability comes from my dad. And then my mom, she wouldn't accept gifts from me if I didn't make it coming up. So I had to actually make all her gifts. And looking back now, that's really helped home me too, you know?
That's crazy, man. That's a crazy like history to have that, and it kind of makes you into who you are now.
Yeah, for real, man.
That's like super great, because I know I come from a family. So like, for example, my mom, she never finished college, but I think she had like 2 years, so she got like her associates. But my pops, he's straight from Mexico, but he never made it past the sixth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, and he, like back in the day, he's like from the old school,
right?
You know, he was like drinking when he was like in the sixth, seventh grade. You know, he was turning up. You know. And going from like nobody in my family like was really musical or like I would say creative like that. Like my mom, she was very like good at math.
Right.
She was a translator. She worked at an attorney's office growing up and stuff. And my pops, he was like, of course, kind of like I guess not really stereotypical, but like a typical Latino working in farms, working all these different things. And then here comes me,
right?
Like, come different. I'm like attracted to creative things, photography, videography, art, music.
Is there anybody? Do they have any interest in any type of creative things?
I think my mom. The only thing she loved music, but other than that, she also loved cinema. So she loved movies. Okay. So that's where my love for like film came.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like growing up, my mom literally had the TV on 24/7. It never turned off.
Oh wow!
And like there was always a movie playing or something in the background, whether somebody was watching it or not.
Got you.
And so like I would always see like these dope ass shots.
And just stick with you, right?
Yeah. And I'd be like, whoa! And like if you go to like my mom's house in Arkansas now, she has like a wall of DVDs of just like all these different movies.
She collect, that's dope.
She always would get like when new movies came out, she'd be like, I'm gonna buy this one, buy that one.
You know, Maya, my mentor, he's also the owner of Peter Street Station. He was like, the collector's mind is a very different mind,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
And he used a specific word or term, and I'm mad I can't remember it, but it always stuck with me because I don't see myself. I don't have enough discipline to collect, and I'm trying to get into that.
Yeah.
But I just know people who have so much stuff, and it's like not hoarding; it's really collecting. You love one thing so much so that you get all the editions of it.
Yeah.
And it takes a specific mind to even. Do that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not lying. Cause I think I would have like moments where I collect things, whether it be like Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon cards or something.
I collected Marvel cards.
Yeah.
But then I can't find them. Come to find out, my mom just called me and said she got all my cards.
Oh, wow.
So I think my parents saw that and a lot of stuff they kept for me.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. It's no hope for me keeping stuff. Like it's going to be somewhere else.
No, definitely. And so then when you were in that moment, in that time of like UPD, and then you just start slowly skyrocketing up in that and like popularity, because this is like, I want to say maybe in the early stages of like Instagram.
Yeah.
And like it's always fascinating to me because, you know, hindsight is 2020. We didn't know like how big this shit was going to get.
Facts.
And then now it's like big, and then you know you have TikTok that crazy. Like when was the moment that you decided, because like now I see you're showing your face, because you used to back in the day you was like, no, don't say nothing about my name, don't show my face, don't do nothing, you know? Or if you did, it'd be like kind of like you in the shadows, you can't really make out your face. What was the day that you were like, you know what, okay, I'm not hiding anymore? Or, you know,
oh man, it's just, I got this thing about me where at times I just don't care what a outcome is going to be. I don't know what it is. It's almost, I'm just very calm when it happens. There's been a number of things like that, but I remember probably just being busy or not even having the money to get home to go get my mask at times, bro. Like I was struggling but after I got divorced, I was struggling, bro.
Yeah.
For years. That's why I'm so thankful that I do art now, because I remember I did an art exhibit. And I had a panel on my first show. I had a panel, an artist talk, and I didn't have my mask on. I just said, fuck it. This went out there. I ain't had no haircut or nothing. I was just looking at that compared to now. And that was even this year. I've grown so much, but I just stopped I started to not care. Mm-hmm. And then certain people was like, yo, you got to start showing your face. Or I remember linking back up with Evan, and Evan would come to, matter of fact, Evan to promo that art show, Evan came and just took a picture of me without the mask on. And I think we were just talking. He was just like, man, fuck the mask. I was like, yeah, fuck the mask. You know what I'm saying? Forget it. And it just, and I think it's more so because prior to becoming an artist, I needed a gimmick to, and I said it was marketing purposes.
Yeah.
And I even would sell it as like, if I can get you to be intrigued without seeing my face, then that has to mean you respect my mind in some way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, I don't need my face to sell anything.
Yeah.
So that was, I was like really into that. Mm-hmm. And then I think when I became painting, it was just a natural transition of, I don't need a gimmick. I actually have a talent that I love and I'm passionate about. And it looks like other people like it too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I could have still kept the mask on and been a painter, and it might have added to some mysteriousness, but that whole mysteriousness that I embody is just a part of who I am anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's crazy. It almost makes me think, just like, cause I'm a comic book nerd somewhat.
Right, right.
And it makes me think of like Spider-Man when he was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to reveal myself. Yeah. And they're like, oh shit, it's Peter Parker. You know, it's
then there's always something that goes back to like, oh no, they don't remember it's him or some shit like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's wild. And so then you were telling me before we started recording, now you feel like you found your calling,
yeah,
in art, in, yeah, being a painter or just an artist in general.
Right.
Was there a moment that you like, you were playing with that idea, mm-hmm, and or did you have like a moment that it kind of hit you like, this is it?
Yeah, I actually, I went to go negotiate a mural. The first mural I did, I went to go negotiate it and talk, you know, see what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And working at Peter Street Station, I have access. And then with my background, I already had access to a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to go talk to these people about a mural, and it was my job to go find the artist to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, like, I had a passion for helping artists monetize what they do and get their ideas out there. Monetarily, I didn't have anything to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
I had some lifelong friendships, like with yourself, with, mm-hmm, Evan, with Paper Frank. I've been in weddings. You, yeah, know what I'm saying? Like, my best friend, Stevie, I started off by managing him. So I have like real good bonds when it comes to the management part, but monetarily, I didn't have anything to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, right before COVID, I think it was like the December or something, 2019 or something like that. I went to go negotiate a mural, and I was like, you know what, man, fuck this shit. I'm just going to do it myself.
Wow.
And I have no idea where, I just knew I had enough like smarts to get it done somehow. I didn't know how.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just going to do it myself. Wow. It was like a little $5,000. It was a $5,000 mural.
Yeah.
And I had my homeboy Chose, who at the time was tattooing at Peachtree Station. I was like, hey, I'm gonna do this mural, bro. But you have history doing it, so I need you to be my assistant. But he was really showing me what it was, how to do the mural. So I did the mural and I loved it. And I was like, oh man, this is like, I got a permanent piece up and I got paid good money for it. And it's art. I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I remember saying that to Mike Nice, who was also a manager at Peachtree Station at the time. And like, he was like, all right, whatever. And then, we had an anniversary show. We have an anniversary show every year for City of Ink.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the manager, I didn't have to like submit. I could just put an art piece up.
Wow.
So I put this art piece up, and the director of Hunger Games bought that shit for 3 racks.
Wow.
I had it listed for 5.
Wow.
But then he was like, this is like when pandemic had just hit.
Yeah.
And then like the whole protests and all that stuff was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people who didn't look like us started to feel bad, and they're just trying to figure out a way to. So,
gotcha.
I had painted this scene from this show on Apple TV called C.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Okay.
The scene, she was praying, but she was masturbating at the same time, having an orgasm at the same time.
Wow.
And it was so like, I was like, whoa, I was so taken back that I actually painted that.
Yeah.
And then tagged her, and she saw it. And then she tagged the director, who happened to be director of Hunger Games, and then the costume designer. And he seen it. He was like, yo, I want it.
Wow.
And I was like, I bet. I drove that motherfucker to LA, bro. I drove it to LA and hand delivered that shit.
Wow.
And that's why I was like, yo, this, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life. Like, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna paint.
Damn, that's, holy shit, that's wild.
Shit, wild, bro.
Like, yeah, it's crazy that shit like that can happen because of social media.
The facts.
You know, had that been before, you know, it would have been people in the city.
Yeah,
in the
I don't know how it would. I mean, it's just divine timing, bro. Like,
yeah,
I'm so blessed, bro. I get paid to go to therapy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally my therapy.
Wow.
And I get paid to do it.
Yeah.
I'm a walking testimony, bro. I keep saying it. I don't know how, but everybody's like, yo, it's cause you helped so many other artists.
Of course.
Like, it's your time now.
It's time to get back. Yeah.
That's
to you.
Yeah. That's how everybody else is looking at it.
Of course. Yeah.
And I'm going to accept that. I just got to keep running with it. It's only been a year and a half, and I couldn't expect all this to have happened within a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it makes sense because of like all the things that you've done beforehand, you know? Yeah. And it's almost like as if, I guess not to be like cliche, almost like, you know, you paid your dues,
yeah, facts,
so to speak,
yeah,
you know? But I mean, I kind of like, for me personally, like it's, I, when listening to stories like that or like people I've interviewed before, or even just talked to like homies, it's almost as if like things just lined up. Yeah. You know,
can't explain it, man. Yeah, it's just, you know, like I know I found my purpose. Yeah. I know that for sure. And I know this is like the thing. I can't believe that this is like, I found what's going to take me to where I need to get to. And I hope, yo, manifestation is real, bro.
Yeah.
Because when I told Mike that I was going to do murals for the rest of my life, he came back to me. He's like, hey, man, you remember you said that to me? He's like, you did it. You doing it.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I had to sit back. Like, yo, manifestation is real. And as soon as I believe, when I believe something, this like it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So now I'm having to practice patience because I know eventually I'm gonna do it or I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.
Just about being patient and working towards it now. So I'm having to really not rush things because I know I'm gonna get whatever I want.
Exactly. You know? No, definitely. Because like that, man, that's it's crazy you said that because I remember when I was early on into like concert photography, like I knew I was the shit. Like, right. But of course, but I kind of, I didn't want to be just like,
no, hey, you was humble, but you was, you knew like it takes for you to do what you was doing. You had to have known. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? So,
and, it was crazy. Cause like the trajectory of it, that got to a point to where eventually I went on tour, you know, with Crit and all that. And
damn, I
was,
forgot about that, bro.
Yeah. Went on tour with Crit.
Damn, and like, I forgot about that.
It's crazy how it all happened because I was just like, the things, when I look back at it now, it's like everything just kind of lined up for it to come to me, you know? And like, I remember even interviewing for the job. It's funny. And like, but I remember after me, I was like, I got it. Like, I know I got it. And then in that moment, like waiting a few days to hear and being like, man, just give it to me already.
Yeah, what y'all doing? Y'all know it's mine.
No, exactly. And then getting a phone call and then be like, you going on tour for 2 months or 2.5 months or whatever.
Man, who called you? Dutch?
Yeah, it was Dutch.
Shout out to Dutch, man.
It was wild. And just being on there, and that was like a whole learning lesson as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing how the business works on the tour side.
Yeah, facts.
And because like, you know, people just think you pull up and it's a show.
Nah.
No, it's not that, man. It's a lot of business talk. Be like, okay, where are we performing? How much to perform here? You know, the money, and you're trying to recoup and make money off the tour. It's a lot of numbers. It's like a numbers game over there. But that's so crazy. So like, because I remember even back in the day, which I think you were telling me before, you're still doing it out. So you would create graphic art, or you had some like Tommy, you collabed with him.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tommy. And you created art, but then you also created an app to like make this
move.
Make it move. And
I remember we wanted to collab for whatever, like, I don't know, just, again, just like you, just like Evan, like we met or I seen his work and was like, bro, we got to do something. He felt the same way. So he redrew a picture of a video that I had did and then I animated it and we was like, all right. When we posted that and everybody was like, yo, what is this? We was like, all right, bro, we got to do a show together. We got to figure this out. So we did a Kickstarter. We did a whole campaign. Still, like, I remember I had sketches of how we would display it, like display easels and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But in the midst of that, I found augmented reality.
And
that's what eventually led us to, that's how we brought it to life on the phones and stuff. And that was like about five, man.
Bro, that was, and then even now, like that shit's about to like feel
people
like.
People still ain't caught up, bro.
I know.
And that, bro, it's not, it's, and I'm not saying, I'm saying that humbly. Like, it's so much, people still don't know how to use that shit yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, and I'm kind of lackadaisical with it now. Now NFTs and all that shit is out.
Yeah, it's. Man, it's crazy because like now a lot of like I have a lot of memories. I'm coming back because you were real early on that shit. And then now it's like people are, it's almost like people were trying to do it, but then they didn't really know how to work with it or use it as efficiently as it could be.
Right.
And then now they're like, okay, let's try again. And it's coming up. And like you said, NFTs are popping up.
That's really the way to go. But I think because I was kind of in that arena and everybody expects me to do it. I'm just like really taking my time. I just, whatever I drop officially for that just has to be like a home run to me. I think I realize about myself that I'm all about wowing people or doing stuff that people don't expect people who look like us to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I came out with the app. I built the app on my own. Now with the NFTs, man, I'm sitting on some stuff that I know will be mind blowing. It's just about me getting it. I have a lot of stuff like that. It's just about me getting it out. But every time I sit down to work on an NFT, I get a call about another opportunity.
Gotcha.
And I shift focus and I hammer down on that.
Yeah, so you kind of just chip away at it slowly.
Yeah. Like I'm learning the coding part, educating myself on a lot of it, And then when it's time for me to drop, I'll be good. And it might be a lot of things that happen prior to that. Mm-hmm. People might take an idea I have, or it might be too late, but I just realized I got to do stuff on my time, bro. Like, I'm not going to force anything anymore, ever.
No, definitely. So then, so you do have some stuff that you're holding on to that, like, is going to be NFT-like or NFT? Yeah. So, because when it first started to come out, how, like, you were like, oh, but is this, like, another avenue?
I was like, oh, dope. I can just go ahead and put my, I already got animated images. Oh, yeah. And I did, I put one that me and Tom, he goes by Tom Davey on IG.
Yeah, Tom Davey.
I put one up. And I didn't know shit about NFTs, and I didn't put a smart contract on it. Mm. And the smart contract is what allows you to keep getting paid from it.
Oh, okay.
So first I put one up, and they took money from me. I was like, "What the hell? All my Ethereum go?" And then I realized, oh, you got to pay like a gas fee. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking I could put one up and then add how many copies. You got to add them all individually. Wow. So if somebody bought a copy of something. And it's theirs now.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, what the hell is this? I was pissed off, but I'm going to just upload another one. But now, like, I know the process. A lot of people are coming to me about how it works. A lot of, like, high people in high places. So, and they're really waiting on me. So, that's really my incentive, now that I think about it, to really get this thing going. Because I have people that's really waiting to invest in something and to do something. So,
yeah, because I see a lot of people almost like when this first started, people were like, oh, this is the future. You know, this is the thing. That's what it feels like, at least, you know. Because I know I was very like old man, like I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't want to like, it's like, what is this? This man, this is like some computer shit. But then slowly as I understand, I'm like, oh, okay. Because like, I guess the way that I made myself understand it better was like, you know, back in the day, you only had the original print, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody could license it and they'd make posters off of it or something. But NFTs work the same way, where you can be like, no, this is the original one.
Exactly.
It's the original one. And I happen to have it right there.
Right.
And it's worth, you know, it's appreciating in value and shit. And so it's the same way, but it's evolved. And now this is how it's done.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
And so it's real, real crazy. So then, like, how many paintings have you done, would you say?
I haven't counted.
Oh, so it's that many.
I probably need to count. I haven't. Because I said it. You know, I'm so strategic, bro. Like when I came into the game, I spent on one painting, I was just trying to find what my style was.
Yeah.
And I used that painting to like kind of hone my skills. And then I did another painting. I think it was an Andre 3000 painting or a Mike Tyson painting. I just, like, it was so messy.
Yeah.
Then when I stepped back, I was like, oh, and I did it in like 5 minutes. So I was like, oh, shit, I think I might have a style. Okay. So my style is like, it's almost like I'm sketching.
Mm.
So I found that out, but then I realized subconsciously that people buy a lot of portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could come up with a style that I loved, but other people can see their people in, that I'll make money. Mm-hmm. So like I do a portrait, probably the busting up.
Mm-hmm.
It's browns, a white outline, and then it's on a black background. And I put glossy black on the black because I like black and matte black.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I do now. People see it and say, oh, I want to see my uncle like this. And then they pay me to do it. So, I mean, like I said, bro, I ain't have nothing. Like after I got divorced, bro, I was sleeping on couches. I ain't have shit.
Yeah.
And this art shit just, was able to rent a house. Wow. Now my nieces and my nephews stay in the house. Wow. And I got a studio residency. And then I just got another residency. So now I have a true one bedroom and a studio / showroom where I can paint in. Wow. And I'm taking care of my nieces and nephews the way the way my brothers and sisters, their parents took care of me.
Damn.
And it's because I strategized how I'm going to do this shit.
Yeah.
But because of that, I was just pumping out art.
Yeah.
And I can't really remember. Like, I got to really go back and see.
You were so in the zone. You was
bro. I just like, folks like, damn, you got another commission. Like, another one. So another one. So another one. So.
Wow.
They're like, damn. Oh, I got a mural now. And they're like, what the
That's so crazy. It's wild how things change and then you're almost like, it sounds like you just got catapulted once you kind of like found it.
Right.
Next thing you know, they're like, all right, bet, we were waiting for you to get here.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's almost like people's just waiting to support too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Evan, we keep going back to Evan, but he's just so happy that I have something now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not reliant on his abilities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And granted, I brought my abilities to market and to do press kits or websites and shit. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's stuff that he could have did on his own.
Yeah.
My real talent when it came to the management was you knowing that wholeheartedly there's somebody that believes in you.
Mm.
So now they're able to like really see me and like, yo, bro, I believe in you. And let's go. I'm gonna use my platform to help you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. So now that you're here at like this point, do you have any like goals in mind for yourself, or is it more so you're just kind of like taking it as it just comes to you?
Kind of both, really. Maya was like, stay in their faces. And ever since he said that, that's just what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And I think my goal is just to keep things in the pipeline. I just like having things that I'm going after and then landing them. I'm very hot right now when it comes to the things happening to me that I've been building up for.
Mm-hmm.
But then 2 months from now, I might be super slow.
Yeah.
So I just want to always keep things in the pipeline and stay in people's faces. That's really my only goal, is to just do things and stay in people's faces.
Mm.
I do want to, my immediate goal from this is to just travel the world, bro, and just create art.
Yeah.
And just be able to sell it from wherever I am. That's my main goal, actually. Like, I want to get my platform to, I'm in this country, and this has inspired me to paint this or create this.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm actually up, nobody publicly knows this, but there's a place south of Atlanta called Serenby.
Okay.
It's about 45 minutes south of Atlanta, and it's like what they call a progressive community.
Okay.
So like everything is like built around nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sustainable. It's a biospheric community is what they call it.
Okay.
And they picked, I'm one out of 10 artists, black artists, that they picked to come out there and do a RFP, a request for proposal,
mm-hmm.
with the idea. So they brought me out there because of murals. But because of what it is, like, it's put me into a whole nother space.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go into landscape art.
Okay.
And then use that to paint murals and do AR and do whatever I can.
Wow.
So my next goal is to really be a landscape artist too.
Mm.
And just do like very sustainable art with a lot of bamboo and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have to travel in order to learn. But that's my two main goals, is to really make a name for myself as a landscape artist. And then travel the world and just paint and sell art too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably my two main goals.
Damn, I dig that, man. That's so dope. I wanted to ask you to go back a little bit on that first mural you did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one of that from the TV show, you said, right? Was that the first mural you've ever done?
No, that was the TV show was a painting. The first mural I did, and it's the hardest mural I've ever done, was of, it's on Auburn Ave right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's of John Wesley Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big chrome or steel statue of a dude's head.
Oh, that's Auburn Ave.
I always thought that was Martin Luther King.
Oh.
But it was John Wesley Dobbs. But
okay.
I didn't know that until I had to do research on Auburn Avenue. And when I realized, I was like, oh, I'm really ignorant to a lot of stuff about the history of Auburn Avenue. And if I'm ignorant to it, then there's going to be a lot of other people ignorant to it.
Mm.
So I chose to do him. And then when I did more research, I found out that his grandson is Maynard Jackson, who was the first black mayor of any southeastern region city ever. He's the first black mayor of Atlanta. So Hartsfield International is named after Maynard Jackson. I think it's like Maynard Jackson Hart, something like that.
Yeah, but, something like that. His name's in there.
Yeah, so, and I learned a lot from that, and I did the mural on those two guys because John Wesley Dobbs was like the unofficial mayor of Auburn Avenue back in the day. So I did a mural of him. And it was on top of an old rib shack building, and my homeboy Chose almost fell through the top of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bro. Like, it was middle of winter. It was the hardest mural, period, bro.
Wow. Yeah. So how long did it take you to do?
It took me, like 2 or 3 months to do.
Oh, wow.
Between weather and all that stuff, man, I had to get lifted. Like, I almost got electrocuted. Chose almost fell through the ceiling. It was just a lot of things, but I had to get it done, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just knew I was going to get it done.
Of course, it took time.
I knew it was going to happen if I got it done, and it got done. And now, like, I'm getting checks from that mural, bro, because of the movie industry here.
Yeah.
So whenever your artwork or murals get in movies, they don't expect us to do this or know this.
Yeah.
But negotiate like royalties every time that shit plays in like the post credit or whatever, the opening of a show. I want to check, just like the music industry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, wow. That's good. I didn't even know that was a thing. See?
I didn't know until I started painting.
Yeah. Damn. Mm. That's like, wow. Because, yeah, I would have just thought you painted it and that's it. Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I really want to do murals, because Atlanta's a movie city. So the more murals I have up, think about people like Greg Mike. I know he's banking off movie checks. You know what I'm saying? Or TV checks or whatever. Because you get an artwork up publicly somewhere and it's in a TV show, which is a good chance here in Atlanta.
Exactly. Next thing you just got residual money coming in.
Just, so it's money, it's promo, it's like a big ass billboard. It just makes sense to do murals to me, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. So then how many murals have you done in total? Does it get easier after
the I'm working on one right now. Like right outside of Peachtree Station.
Okay.
VH1 actually hired me to do it.
What?
I'm about to be on Black Ink, bro.
Wow. Turn up.
Crazy. But yeah, I just did that. I painted. Now it's just a bigger canvas to me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd rather work big now.
Oh, okay.
And I remember a friend of mine told me that. I was like, nah, that seems intimidating. But now it's just something about like I can get wilder.
Okay. Yeah.
And my style is very wild and loose. Yeah. So right now I have the main art one. I did a Black Lives Matter street mural in downtown Decatur. I did a public one in public electronic boxes in Lil 5. Mm-hmm. I did two murals for the Trap Museum. I did one, then covered up and did another one.
Yeah.
And then now I'm working on this one. So I guess total I've done six, but it's really equates to five walls. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I've done interior murals for homes too. So
man, that's so dope and so crazy. Cause like I said, just remembering how I met you.
Yeah. It's completely different, bro.
It's like a 180, you know,
yeah, it's wild. But
it's crazy how life turns out like that sometimes. Cause man, even for me and like how shit just pans out and flips and then like going from photography, which I still do on occasion, I've always done music and videos and stuff, but then now into podcasting and like, I've always wanted to do this.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I was scared to jump into it.
Man, I got to say the art thing for me was like music for you. I didn't know you could play music. I remember we went and shot one time and it was a piano.
Oh yeah.
And you just sat down and played. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to play piano like a motherfucker. But then you started coming out with the music.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, oh,
yeah,
he's really talented, you know what I'm saying? And I think I never forget that feeling from when I seen you. And I compare minds to that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was so wild, and I think a lot of times I do things just to wow people.
Mm.
And for them to be like, yo, this motherfucker could do that too.
Yeah,
the feeling I have for you is kind of what pushes me to always do something. Like, I want to wow people, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why the AR app came out.
Of course.
That's why I might animate something or do this or like show that I love cinematography. So I make like a short film. I just do things for the wow factor.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it's for other people, but it really is. It's really very rare that I can say, yo, I did this for me. I'm always thinking about what other people are going to think.
Definitely. I think I can understand that perspective because I know for me, whenever like I'm trying to create a new song or create a new composition or something and I'm playing, I'm always trying to think of, okay, you know, I've played this before, but how can I spice it up and make it just even more amazing to where like there's even music that like I'll hear and I'll be like, who the fuck made this?
Exactly.
I wish I would have made this.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know? But I'm trying to get to, I think with Maya being my mentor, he's a true artist, bro. So it's like, and I'm such a strategic thinker that it annoys me sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I really wish I could just create for me.
Yeah, just for the sake
without,
of it.
Without thinking what other people are going to think. You know what I'm saying? I think it's so necessary to me to market myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm always thinking about, all right, I'm gonna wait to paint this because I need to record this in this way, in this manner, so people can see it. And I'm really eager and excited to get to a point to where it's just like I'm just pumping out shit just because I just need to.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about what other people think.
Mm.
For a while, it came from a place of necessity of having to do something. I can't waste my time doing something where I'm not making money.
Yeah.
But now that I'm really an artist, I want to like get to a place to where I can just like create something and not even show nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everything I create, I feel like I gotta show it to show people, like, yo, this motherfucker's doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all about the showing evolution and growth.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I want to travel and just kind of be gone.
Yeah.
So I could show some things, but then I know I did this over here.
Yeah.
And people don't got to see that.
No, exactly. I mean, and then just to get see the influences and the culture and the things like that. Cause you don't know what that'll do to your art.
Facts.
Yep. And so like, I know one of these days here soon, like I was telling my girl about it, where I want to travel somewhere and just like get out of here and then see other things and experience life, you know? Cause in that way it'll be like, oh shit, it'll bring them new feelings.
It's important,
new moods.
Bro.
Yeah.
Whenever you get into a place where like you might have like any type of creative block, I think the key to get out of that is travel.
Yep.
Because you got to be inspired by new things.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to be cultured.
Yeah.
because you could draw from a lot of things. You might hear a specific language and just I feel like it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and
man.
Inspire you. You know what I'm saying? Or see a certain person or the way they work or whatever they're doing. It's important to travel. Man, no, it really is.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you, so then you coming from originally, like, you were managing Evan and almost as in the like music and photography world. Now that you yourself are an artist, like, do you see any correlations between those worlds? Like, I know here usually, like, for example, in the photography world, once you know like one or two photographers, you kind of know everybody.
Right.
You know, is it the same for like artists?
Yeah, it is. Like, you're on everybody's radar. I think it's a very competitive, profession. It's like rapping to me.
Okay.
Because everybody could, or everybody thinks they could rap at least.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, and you might be trash at it, but you know how to network. And you take off. Now you're a pop artist.
Wow.
And people just got to get it because it's some hype beast shit.
You
know what I'm saying? So it's extremely competitive, but everybody does know everybody. I'm pretty sure there's people looking at me. One of my main things is stepping into a room where I know other artists are going to be who I haven't talked to in a while, who knew me from being a web designer or a manager and wondering what they think about what I'm doing now, like how they're going to receive me.
Yeah.
So even the opportunity down at Serenby, it's people who I'm up against who don't get, who they don't do projects for less than $1 million.
Wow.
So for me to like, one guy, I did, he know me from doing his website.
Wow.
And it's my first time seeing him since I did his website. So I walked in thinking like just nervous, like, man, what the fuck are you going to think of me?
Yeah.
He walked over to me. He was like, yo, I'm so proud. I see you doing this. I didn't know he was watching me.
Wow.
Like, I see you doing this is this. And you got selected because you're one of the top 17 active artists in Atlanta. Like, he broke down why I got selected. Wow. Which means like he did the research to figure out what I was doing, and now he's a mentor of mine.
That's
so
crazy.
A lot of times, man, like it's such a challenging. When you get up there and the money, like, they're doing $350,000 bids, $1 million bids.
Yeah,
this one I'm in is for $75K, and it's the whole world to me. But to all the other artists, they're like, man, that ain't on the panel. They was like, yo, that's not even enough, to be honest. I'm like, it could be enough for me. Why don't you have to back out and let me get it then? Watch what I do.
Exactly.
But because of the amount of money, it does get very competitive. And it can get phony, like a lot of things.
Okay.
But like the OGs are starting to know me now because of this situation.
Yeah.
But just like the people who I've been in the circle with, I was already in the art world with Evan and Frank. So it's just, I think it's just a reintroduction to people, you know?
That's interesting. And it's really true, because I think one thing that sometimes, I guess, if you're creative, whether it be musician, artist, photographer, videographer, doing anything in the art world, people kind of, like you were saying, people are always watching.
Yeah.
You know, if like, and if you're making like dope shit, and there might be times where you feel like, damn, ain't nobody seeing this. There are people watching. They are watching.
They are.
If they're not watching and being like, oh shit, they're watching because they like what you're doing. They might try to take some of that shit from you.
For sure. And I'm always like, I just know it's going to happen. With my style, I'm waiting to see it happen. But at the same time, man, it's, you know, it's the ultimate compliment is when you inspire somebody.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They might show it the wrong way by taking something and not giving you credit or whatever. But I think that happens, and for me, I just got to be prepared to like understand that I might be at a point to where that's going to happen, and it's really about how I choose to look at it. But I also think I got so many OGs behind me that it's going to be hard for people. Like, why even try? You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I just got to keep worrying about what I'm doing and not worrying about if somebody's taking my style or taking anything or even hating, because that's going to come. I can't control that.
Exactly. That's going that'll probably happen naturally.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be people like that or,
yeah,
you know, in anything that you do, really in any aspect of the life, you know? That's so wild, man. But it's so dope to catch up with you and hear this shit, cause like it's inspirational. And I'm like, God damn, bro.
This shit crazy, bro.
I know it's crazy. You came from this to this to this. Now you up here, you doing your thing. I'm like, damn, bro. It makes me happy to see that.
Man, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. And it's so wild. But, I think it's a good note to end it on here. Cause like, this, I think people, if you're a creative or something like that, this is like such a great talk to listen to.
Right.
To especially just to hear everything that you've talked about of where you were from, where you came from, the things you went through, to now you're here and you're just like your trajectory is like going up.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, man. It's so inspiring because like I remember, I think, because like sometimes I always think, you know, maybe I should run in these streets again and take photos. Yeah. But then I'm like, I don't know.
I ain't lie, we want you to. I know, hey man, you're a photographer. And you come up like, man, I ain't gonna waste his time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? No, still folks hit me that I linked you with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I think I'm a cop. Like, all right, it's on you. I say, you don't use me because I don't think he's there. And yeah. I ain't about to force nobody to be somewhere they don't want to be.
Yeah, you know exactly. Because like, I think... What it like, because I think for me, what happened recently, like we're doing like this West Side Gun stuff. I was just like, man, I think my kind of like how you saying, like my values just shot up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm like, well, now I want to be real selective, almost like you as an artist, be like, well, I'm not going to shoot unless I'm one, like drawn to it, or one, the money is like worth it.
Yeah.
You know, because at some point, there comes a point in every artist's career where they're like, sometimes you kind of feel like you got to do it for the money, but then you get to a point where you're like, I don't have to do this for the money no more.
Right.
You know, now I can be selective and be like, I'm only going to do one or two over here, you know, and then go over here and just be real selective to where it's like special.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's all about. And then, of course, sometimes life happens and you get pulled to other areas.
You know?
But I come back every now and then.
Man, it's kind of funny, man. It just popped in my head, but I hate to use this. But, you know, when you start off, you're just hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you get to points where like, I'm hungry. I'll do this. Then it gets to the point where you're eating.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point to where you just want to shit in peace, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want to be selective. You just want to close the door and shit in peace, man. So you get hungry, then you eat, then you just want peace. You know?
Yes.
And I hate to use that comparison.
No. It makes perfect sense because that's how I am. Because it's like, after a while, you kind of like, man, I've done all these things. Okay, what do I do now? You're like, you know, I just kind of want to chill.
Facts. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's the facts, man.
Yeah, and bro, like,
I'm write a song on the toilet on y'all ass. You know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. It's crazy because like I was thinking the other day, somebody I think wanted me to do like a show, shoot their show, and I was like, man, I've shot so many shows. Like I've done all this stuff. I have all this history, and I've captured some amazing people and stuff. And I'm like, man, I ain't gonna do it.
Bro. Yeah,
I ain't
exactly.
Do it. It's like, I'm okay. I don't have to do it.
Right.
You know, I'll recommend somebody to do it I know they're great and they probably want it and, you know, go that way. But, you know, I'm just like, well, I just want peace right now. Bro.
Yeah, facts.
You
know, it's important, man. It's so important, bro. Peace of mind is very important.
Exactly. But before we go, man, one more time, promote your social medias or anything you want to push out there.
PD Parker, PETIEPARKER, at PD Parker. PDParker.com. I am the general manager of Peter Street Station once again, and I have a lot of things coming up, and I'm just gonna stay in y'all faces, bro.
I'm not
letting up.
Yeah, man. Hey, just keep pushing. I'm telling y'all, man, go follow Petey. He's a dope, humble dude, super talented.
Thanks,
just
bro.
Creative already, man. And for everybody, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Or if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, make sure you rate, review, really pushes the podcast out there. And then other than that, man, we'll catch y'all on the next one.
Yes, sir.
Peace.